All right, good evening. Good to see all of you here tonight. Glad that you're here in the house of the Lord. All right, let's go to Psalms chapter 51. That way I don't have to rush to get to that. If it's done, it's done. It's needful, but it's handled. So thank you for your patience on that. Psalms 51. I just want to talk just a little bit because when I get back, we're going to go into the detail of topical study on Wednesday nights of sin. Of sin. But tonight, we're just going to talk a little bit, then we're going to get, we'll be dismissed and head home. Be in prayer for us as we get ready to head out Saturday. Brother Scott will be taking us there for it. One thing I did want to mention, if any of you guys going or not going, but have, if you have plans on how to build a small picnics, that maybe you could email or forward to us. That's one of the projects at one of the orphanages. They want us to build. They eat out on the ground. So they want us to, they have the lumber. They want us to build them while we're there. Picnic table. So if you have any idea, talk to me afterwards or email them to us, or if y'all can look up online and get some. Maybe Brother Mike, you have some sketching you can help us with, or Brother David. It shouldn't be too hard, but we don't want the kids to sit down and pinch things for certain. So pray about that with me. If you can help with that, that'd be a big blessing. Psalms 51. Psalms 51, verses 1, 2, 3. Well, I read these Sunday. During the message, they were not verses I had wrote down. They just come to my mind. And then as I pondered those, even as I read them, this here thing that we're looking at, sin, just came to my mind. And I saw something here. Psalms 32, Psalms 38, and Psalms 51 are all dealing with the same subject. David. And the predicament he found himself in. He fell into the adulterous situation with Bathsheba there. And it surely costs. But as we look at this and this thought, just bear with me. It's not that I have not studied the subject of sin. I just don't want to get into it now and cannot cover it like we should. So let's just talk about this for a minute. Psalms 51, verses 1, 2, and 3. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. I noticed three terms there: sin, iniquity, and transgressions. Sin, iniquity, and transgression. Now, if you go look into the writings of historians and people that go back and look into the Greek and things of that nature, and even in the even today in rugby. If you ever know anything about rugby, the game rugby, if you commit a penalty, they put you in a box, and that box is called the sin box, even today. That was an amazing thing. They call it that. You've broken a rule. But sin is like missing the mark. Would you say that? We could agree with that. Sin is, there's a mark. You shoot your arrow, and it's going out there. You have every intention on hitting the bullseye, don't you? I don't believe, dear friend, for one moment that David woke up that morning going to where he was going. But Brother Jim, I believe he missed the mark. Now, we know that kings should have been at war. So we know there were some things that led up to it. I guess what I'm thinking is that we need to get to the point where we are headed to the atonement room of God, the throne room of God, and dumping off our sin before we ever get to iniquity and transgression. I believe that sin is, it's a difficult thing. It's a horrible thing. But I believe, Brother Jim, there's times in my own life that I accidentally have just, wow, I just sinned. It wasn't on purpose. I didn't set out to do it. I don't believe David did. In the spur of the moment, somebody pulls out in front of you. For instance, Geico, I've been a customer of theirs for years. Lord, I raised my insurance like $300 this last go-around. So I called them and they said, well, it's just simply a statewide thing. I said, I'm missing this here getting older and getting cheaper rates. Where did that happen? That's what y'all keep telling me. The older I get, cheaper rates get. The older I get, I guess one of these days when I get old enough that my children finally take my car keys away from me, I'll get cheaper rates because then I won't need insurance. I don't know. So anyway, I was looking into getting some new policy. And I shopped around, finally found a place, and it was $500 cheaper than what I'd been paying already. And I was like, isn't there a statewide thing going on? She said, we hadn't heard about it. But we might even get it cheaper for you if you'll let us stick this little tracking device in there and see how well you're driving for 6 months. And I wasn't too keen on that. But the same day, I had AT&T come to the house because I was having a problem with the modem down there, the internet. Kept dropping off, and while I was there, lo and behold, I'm sitting beside the guys. He's working, and on his little laptop, a list of everybody that's been in my house with their cell phone that is connected to my Wi-Fi, he had it. And I said, well, they already know everybody's been here. Might as well let them stick this thing on. Well, this crazy thing that tracks you, if you brake too hard, it beeps. Beep, beep. If you go too fast, it beeps. You know, if you take off, accelerate or something. Well, I had a perfect record, Brother Jim. Perfect. My daughter and my wife, 3, 5, 7 times a day. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Heartbreak. Heartbreak. I had a perfect record for almost 26 days. The other day, I'm coming out of the off of Lee Vista, fixing to turn on the Narcoosa Road, and it's a single turn lane. I'm getting over. I look on my right. I'm getting over. The guy in front of me, never had his blinker on. I go to get over. And as soon as I get over, guess what he does? Right over in front of me, and guess what I had to do? Beep, beep, beep. It made me mad. It broke my record. And that anger, wrath of man working not the righteousness of God, I didn't mean to sin. I didn't sit out to leave my daughter's practice and get into a guy that can't drive and don't know what blinkers are for. I didn't sit out to sin, but I missed the mark, didn't I? I missed the mark. And then it talks about iniquity. It's a progression, isn't it? What is the verse, in the New Testament? Lust? What happens? Sin? Then what happens? Death? That's kind of like a drug, isn't it? What's that drug? LSD? Lust, sin, death. It's a progression. I think we need to, yes, worry about this here problem of adultery, but I think if we worry about the things that lead up to it, we'll never get to it. David missed the mark. He should have been at battle. You think for a moment he didn't know who Uriah's wife was? You remember he had asked, who's that? And the servant said what? That's the wife of Uriah. You know who's mentioned as one of the mighty men of valor? Uriah. Now he's done gone on to iniquity. Iniquity is like a progression. You've sinned. It's accident. Now, who is that? Go get her, bring her. It becomes an attitude. An attitude of, well, I'm the king. I can do what I want. He's my subject. He's my mighty man of valor. He's off in your army fighting for you. And you begin to justify it. You think about in the book of Genesis, when God came down, asked Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" Well, we're naked. Well, who told you so? Well, you know, Lord, the wife that you gave. And he starts justifying. The attitude towards sin begins to change. You know, we don't blush anymore, do we? I was at the ball field the other day, and there was two ladies. I'd say, Sister Jenny, that's probably your age, about 36, 37 years old. And they were in front of me, and they were there talking. And I wasn't trying to overhear their conversation, but they were standing right in the way of the ball field where I had been sitting. And they started saying some words that, Brother Johnson, I heard men in the Army use. Right out there on the ball field. What? The attitude. Went from, you know, sin to iniquity. And that's what David had. He had an attitude towards sin. No matter what it is. I mean, we got to go. We got to approach the throne of God. We got to spend time with God. We got to say, God, Lord, I didn't mean to do that. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God, you made me king. Can you hear him now? God, you gave me this authority. You gave me this power. Adam, it's the woman, Lord. Good night. You made her so beautiful. And then you gave her to me. Then all of a sudden she wanted this fruit. What else was I supposed to do? The attitude. It progresses. It goes on. Lust, sin, death. Lust, sin, death. To the point it becomes transgression. It's just outright breaking of God's law. And whatever situation is, and we don't have to leave it at this here order. We don't have to leave it bound to this situation. Because it's in every situation of life. If you find yourself, not doing a full day's work for your boss because one day you're just not feeling too good. Maybe you got stress. Maybe there's something and you're not doing that full, whatever you pay. You've paid 8 hours, and they pay you a fair 8 hours. And you find one day as a Christian, as God's person, because everything we do is unto God. You find, today, I didn't put in a full day's work for my employer. Maybe you should get that right because it's going to lead to more. It's not going to stop because, what I told you Sunday night, the biggest failure that we have is success without God as Christians. When we don't get caught right away, we start justifying. Well, I didn't get caught then. I can go on and do more. I can do more. You know, if you go back and you read Psalms chapter number 32 and Psalms 34 and this psalm, you read them together because it's all talking about the same situation. You remember the saying I told you that sin will take you a lot further than you ever wanted to go? It's going to keep you a whole lot longer than you ever want to stay. It's going to cost you a whole lot more than you ever thought it would cost you. Pastor, what are you talking about? Turn over to Psalms 34. I mean Psalms 38. Psalms 38. Psalms 38. Listen to this here. I'm not going to go in deep detail because sin has a cost and a payment. And even when you get forgiveness from God, there's still the consequences that lie there. That you reap. David's a forgiven man, and he's not. Sure he is. Well, look here, late in his life. Psalms 38:1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chase me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Listen to what it says, verse 5. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Verse 7, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. Verse 11. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. What sore? Go back and do some reading and study on your own. I'm not going to get into it tonight, but all these kids in here. But look up verses 5, 6, and 7 and think in your mind, what is it talking about? Some kind of disease that he had. He's now way up in age now. Remember he said over in Psalms 51, my sins are ever before me. There's that consequence. It's always there. I do believe, dear friend, the day and age we live in, we have to be very careful of those great sins. Those outward sins. Those sins that are horrendous. And as we look up and study these things out and look at sins, not this week coming because I'll be gone, but next week we'll begin the study in sin. Surely it's the great sins that are known, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The little ones. See, these sins led to iniquities, led to transgressions that he lived with till he died. It came to a point that his lovers stood afar off. His family wouldn't come near. His friends, even his servants, were scared to go by because of the consequences of his sin. We've got to get to the point where we deal with those little foxes. I believe, dear friend, if we get to the point where we deal and we have a good understanding of sin and we deal with those little foxes, we won't have to worry about these horrible things that pop up in our life. You ever put a watermelon seed in the ground the next morning, or even read about it, thought about it, maybe you've never planted something, but you put a watermelon seed in the ground and the next day you go out there and there's a 22-pound watermelon? Wished it worked that way, but they're going to get it there soon enough. Pretty soon they'll give you some seeds you can put in the microwave and pop out a watermelon. It don't happen like that, does it? It takes time. It takes time. I don't think we have a good reverence and understanding for what sin did and what it does to people. Remember the old Marlboro man, don't you? They never show him when he's all laid up with that cancer, did they? No, they didn't. Ate him up. Think about the men that you've known over the years that, you know, just drank occasionally, socially. Now their livers ate up. cirrhosis. I'm just get you, Donna. This is what happened with David. I don't believe, dear friend, that David went out on that balcony. If David would have got, as soon as he turned back around and looked again, would have got verse 38, bang, it would have been a different story, wouldn't it? We know the story. I don't have to go into it. But it led from one thing to one thing to one thing. What I'm saying is these little sins that we're going to have to deal with. The anger, the pride, causing strife, not being found faithful, to him to know it to do good, doeth not, it's what? You know, I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit of God doesn't wait too long to tell me, you know, you should have done better in that situation. What's he telling me? You missed the mark. And if I keep missing the mark, guess what happened? I get satisfied with the mark. And the mark gets bigger and bigger, and I keep missing and missing. And I keep justifying it. Well, I'm still a pretty good person. It's a sin. It gets hold to you. And I believe, personally, in my own life, I don't know about yours, but I believe personally, there's too many times I give the devil too much credit for the things that I'm involved in.
Amen.
Is the devil real? Yes, sir. I know he is real. But I live more in the flesh than I do around the devil. And when I live in the flesh and in the carnality of the body and the mind, dear friend, there is no telling what I will end up doing. For the heart is wicked above all. Who could know? This is the testimony of God against our hearts. For all have sinned. I mean, Romans 3, he gives a 16 or 17 count indictment against mankind. We need to take it serious. You know, and I'm not telling you that we're going to live around in here as monks and eunuchs and things of that nature. I'm just telling you that sin is real. And unless we handle it, it gets big and bad and ugly. Heard a preacher say this past week. He said, as Christians, as preachers, as God's people, if we sin, we're preaching sin. It's what we're presenting. And what does people do? They look at us, they watch us, and they look at us, and they say, well, you know, pastor's doing that, so this must be quite all right. If pastor's doing it in sin, it's not all right. If you're doing it in sin, it's not all right. I know it's kind of heavy on a Wednesday night, dear friend, but I'm telling you, I think if God says, be holy for I'm holy, I think we need to take a closer look at this here subject. Because it's important. It costs God everything to redeem us back from the debt and debts that we owe because of sin. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for our Bible clubs. We ask you, Lord, to watch over us. Bless us as we study this subject in the next coming weeks. Lord, it is it's a real thing. No doubt about it. Nobody's exempt. But the goal is that we would sin less and less in our life so that our light would shine brighter and brighter. So God, I pray that you'd help us get a good, healthy understanding of this subject and quit justifying things in our lives that don't belong there so that, Lord, you get the glory and we honor you with everything that's within us. God, help us have a biblical view of this topic. A good understanding. So we can have a healthy fear and reverence toward you. And a simplicity towards the wickedness of this world. God, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to meet in your house. We pray, God, you'd bless our people. Keep them safe. Help us, Lord, to reach our community. Those that are sick, God knows we have many that are sick tonight. Several texts called today, not feeling well, bronchitis, things of that nature. Lord, please touch their bodies. Help them to be back in the house of God at the next appointed time. Bless us tomorrow night as we go out to the community. Help us find folks home and be a good testimony for you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.